Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Don't have. A lot of people get envious, or the gifts that you don't have. They get envious because someone like Michelle can go up and talk to somebody and minister. And, you know, I feel uncomfortable at doing that. I mean, I don't mind standing up here and yelling at you and doing stuff like that. But it's that one-on-one, that just walking up to a stranger. There are people who have gifts for that. And once I recognize that that's not one of my gifts, then I don't have to worry about feeling, or you don't have to worry about feeling inadequate. But you do have your unique gifts. And what we're going to do is show you how to, what they are, and you're going to come away knowing more about yourself than you can ever imagine. So we'll be looking at that, and also preparing and equipping you for the release of your ministry in these important days ahead. More to say about that. 2016 is our Christmas. This is our Christmas Sunday. The title of the message is God the Promise Keeper. His promise is Jesus. The assurance of His promise to us is the Holy Spirit. You're going to be hearing a whole lot more about the Holy Spirit this next year in 2017. And if I say 16, give me some slack. If I say 15, you can give me a hard time, all right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, along with Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, and it is this. For to us a child is born, for we have been given a son, and he will rule over the nations, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of his rule there will be no end. He will reign over his kingdom, and he will rule with honesty and justice forever. And then Luke chapter 2, 10 through 14 says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Father, thank you again that by your Holy Spirit, every season, every holiday season, there is a unique revelation that you want to bring. There's an understanding that you have for us this Christmas Sunday, and those that are listening in 2016, thank you, Father, for making this not just some kind of child's story or children's story, but something that is very real. And Lord, and in that revelation, we understand many, many things. So have your way this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me just begin by sharing something. I don't know if I'm too loud or am I okay? I feel like I'm good. Thank you. Appreciate the feedback here. Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Let me, just to show you that this promise was given 750 years before Jesus' birth. The prophet Isaiah received that word from the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied that there was going to come a time, he didn't know when, but he made that proclamation. And 750 years later, the prophecy was fulfilled. Let me just boil it down to this. When God gives a promise, he intends to keep it. Amen, Pastor? Amen. I believe that. How many people are holding promises from the Lord? If you're not, you need to get some. What is God putting on your heart to believe Him for? Areas that you have not yet received. What I want to underline this morning, while it is still morning, that God never forgets. And there's things that you, in a weak moment or a high moment of worship, where you became vulnerable to the Lord, and there was something that you asked Him for that was far beyond your expectations. And something just landed in your spirit, man, that you know it was from the Lord. Share some more about that this morning. And now it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 9, 49 says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and He fills you with power from heaven." One of the unique things that we have, and this is one of the promises, trying to determine if I want to say it now or I want to say it later. So if I pause for a moment, I'm talking to the Lord, or I'm listening to the Lord. One of the things that we need to recognize, that we who are charismatics, we are charismatics. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People say, "Are you Pentecostal?" Pentecostal is a denomination. And we are independent, an independent church linked with other independent churches. Have much fellowship with other pastors and other churches around the area. I was for a long time. I was the head of the pastors association, and it's wonderful to sit around and see different churches with unique giftings. Churches in Scripture are called lampstands, and every church is unique and has been gifted to accomplish the task that He raised up the church for. You can't just start a church. Let's get together and start a church. God has to start a church. And then He brings the people. Not only does He bring the pastor to facilitate that ministry, but He brings the people and those who are uniquely chosen. And many of you know that we pastored a very, very large church for a long time, thousands of people. And then God moved us on to form Celebration, which was a completely unique ministry because He was preparing us, and some of you were involved with that during that time, and those listening online. We have over, I don't know if I mentioned this, just happened to look, someone shared with me, we have over 1 million hits on our website, listening to the messages and stuff like that. So turn to somebody, in fact, say, "Welcome online people." Just go ahead and say that right now. Do it.
Welcome.
Good. They say, "Oh, pastors, it's great to have a shout out like that." So we look, but we're mighty in electronics. But one of the things that was so unique to us, God was formed Celebration for a particular reason. And that was to help us to facilitate a move of the Lord that we experienced. Many of you were there. We experienced a manifestation of the presence of God that was beyond understanding. And I remember, after investigating it for a year before I got into it, I'm very cautious. I would test things, but when I find out it's from the Lord, then get out of my way. And we recognize that that one particular Sunday when the Holy Spirit showed up and He says, "Now I'm taking over," it was a unique, and then for the next, my gracious, number of years, it was just Katie barred the door. The signs and the wonders and the miracles and the manifestations of incredible thing. A lot of signs that just made you wonder. People would walk up and they'd have glitter all over their face. Remember that, Robert? Just looked like someone hit them in the face with a glitter hitter, whatever. And they'd come in, or they'd come up to the prayer time, and their hands, I remember holding their hands held up like they're praying to the Lord, and watching oil drip from their hands. And they would come to me and say, "Pastor, what is this all about?" And I said, "It's a sign that makes you wonder." Didn't it say that in the last time there will be signs and wonders? And we saw people healed. We saw the manifestations of the Lord. Things that you just couldn't understand. And the reason why was basically the Lord said to me, will you allow me to do this? And as pastors, pastors are control freaks sometimes. Got to have everything in order, make sure nothing gets out of hand or whatever. So we like nice little packages. I told you before, we were a nice church before that. Nice church. Everybody was nice. I was nice. I had nice messages. And we had nice. Come to the nice church. Then I started hearing about these manifestations of God's power up in Toronto and back in Florida. And I said, God, I want this. And he says, are you sure? And I said, I think so. But I took a year to evaluate it. I went, checked out things, talked to other pastors who were involved with it. There weren't very many at that time. And the Lord said to me in a nice, kind way, you know what he said? It made me feel real humble. He says, you're the fourth one I asked. Everyone else turned me down. And I said, why did they turn you down? He says, you'll see. And I said, all right, Lord, I don't know. I just feel a quickening in my spirit that this is of you. And he said, I'm going this way. Which way are you going? And I said, I'm going your way. And then that Sunday morning came, and our nice church, when a little man over in the here, place was filled, guests and visitors and all kinds of things that were just nice. Felt very good about it. A couple years into since we formed the church. Nice location. Then all of a sudden a prophetic word was given. And were you there that day? You may not might have missed that study, but when it happened, the power of the Lord, a little Hispanic man that I didn't know got up and gave a prophetic word in tongues. And then I had the Lord, I'm waiting for the interpretation. The Lord said, you have the interpretation. And I said, okay. And I asked the Lord, and he says, this is the time of your visitation, of my visitation. The time is now. And from that point on, we went 5 days a week from 7 o'clock until sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, just worshiping the Lord. And then after about 8-9 months of that, the Lord says, now what I want you to do is I want you to open it up for the rest of the churches. And we started bringing, we had 160 meetings. Some of those meetings lasted a week, 2 weeks. Longest one was 2 weeks. And we had people from all over the world come. So little celebration. But we became a lampstand. And we saw, as I said, people from all over the world, from Australia, from England, from just all over, would come and experience the presence and the power of God. And I could go on, but I don't have time. But that stirred my heart. And what happens when you see God move, when you see God manifest his power in his presence, what enables you to do is to believe and to have confidence in that. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. This is a Christmas message, by the way. Because one of the things that you're going to be hearing in 2017 is God saying, this is the time. 2017, we are going to see another manifestation of the presence of God. I've been talking about this all year long. 2017, God is about ready to pour out his Spirit again. A lot of people were saying, Pastor, I believe all this stuff. It looks like, and I'm going to the election right now, that it says in the end times there's going to be a downward spiral. And then it gets so bad that the Lord shows up. The church is raptured and the Lord shows up. And I had somebody ask, and he said, why didn't we just elect the ongoing regime? We would have speeded things up a lot faster. Sounds good to me, right? How would you answer that question? If we'd have just continued on with a downward spiral, then we'd have gotten there quicker. And I reminded them that God said that before that was going to happen, there was going to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I told you before, and I've told other pastors and other leaders, what it's going to do is be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit empowering for the ingathering. The Lord interrupted the downward spiral of society to take a season where He's going to pour out His Spirit upon the church, and they shall begin to prophesy. You shall go out into the marketplaces, and just like Michelle shared, that's going to happen over and over and over again, where we're going to see that last ingathering. And then when that happens, the Lord says, you've accomplished everything, the church has accomplished everything that I've wanted to, then we follow through with the rest of Scripture. This is a divine interruption, folks. And the reason why I underline that again today, and you're going to be hearing more and more about it, because I've told you what we do is we go during this time, this month, and I'm seeking the Lord for the prophetic venue for 2017. And it's stirring in my spirit, and I'll share more about that. But this whole understanding of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God, and we'll talk more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit so that you understand that and the difference between accepting Jesus Christ and receiving the Spirit, Holy Spirit. But then there's that other, the next degree, the next depth, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I like to say it this way. When you accept Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. When you get the baptism in the Holy Spirit has you. Anybody say amen? Know what I'm talking about? Things completely change. So as we continue on this this morning, what we're doing is, this is the basis of our foundation in Christmas here. Christmas is based on faith. Christianity is based on faith. Listen to this spiral here. Faith is based on what? It's based on hope. Hope is based on promises, right? Promises are based on Jesus. And then Jesus releases the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the whole, if you wanted to wrap up what Christianity is all about, that is the cycle. It's based on the promises. And that promise is Jesus Christ. What is Christmas? That's one of my favorite times of the year. It's probably the same with you. All kinds of things. There is, there's gifts. And if you come from my side of the family, gathering together on Christmas Eve was always something that was very special. We had, it's going to be special this Christmas Eve too. And there's going to be gifts, and it's going to look like by the time we get finished, World War III happened in our family room with enough paper to wallpaper of the mall. And we're going to eat, and we enjoy, and we're going to share about Christmas, and we'll talk about all the wonderful things. It's all of us have traditions, and I am one very strong on traditions, and I encourage you to raise your kids, those who have kids or will, raise them with family traditions so that it becomes a part of their entry and their carrying through. Now, my kids won't let me change. I said, well, you know, do we need to do this? No, we don't want anything changed. One time we decided to change food a little bit. They went back and said, no, we're not doing that anymore. So now we're passing it down to our grandkids, and they can't wait to go to our house Christmas Eve and have fun and enjoy the whole process. It's all of the above. Friends, I love having friends over. I love going through, one of the things that I like to do, and I don't like malls, but I like to go to malls. I don't like to shop. I'd rather stay in and let somebody else do it. But I like to go to malls and listen to the Christmas carols in the background. Here we are in, you know, like almost how you would explain the what's going on and the money and the who's it's and the what's it's and the, and yet in the background, oh little town of Bethlehem, where joy to the world, the Lord has come. And man, I love that. That is incredible. They don't, the devil can't keep them out. And a lot of people have the foggiest idea what's going on, but the atmosphere is being set. And the whole understanding of Christmas is giving, because God gave himself to us. So that's what happens to us in the process. Most people don't know what Christmas means. Let me just tell you. It means, when you look at it in the original language, Christ celebration. So when you say Merry Christmas, what you're saying is have a good celebration of Jesus, of Christ. That's why the Lord, when the Lord told, he said, I want you to start a church. And I said, all right, what do you want to call the church, Lord? He said, I want to call it Celebration. Well, this is many, many, many years ago, and I says, that's a crazy name for a church. You know, that's what I said. You don't name a church Celebration. That's what something does, what the church. He says, I want you to call it Celebration, because you will be celebrating the Lord of the harvest. And for a long time, the wheat chaff was our logo. And Robert, there's a inlaid wheat chaff on this pulpit that's been around for 1,000 years here. He made that for us. The celebration of Jesus. The true meaning of Christmas is a celebration of Jesus. It means God with us. A celebration because God so desired to reestablish relationship with man and show how much he loved us. It's literally, Christmas is God come to man so that man can come to God. And you understand why all of the hype and whatever is to distract what the true meaning of Christmas is all about? That's why don't ever, it's fun to give gifts, fun to go shop, fun to do all the other stuff. But as that statement that was coined many, many years ago, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is God's promise. And he came so that we might live in his promise. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, or do not be afraid. One of the things that, what do we have? I'll wing it. One of the things that we have unique, one of the definitions of Jesus, of God as he defined himself, this is not winging it, this is right on the program. You just don't have to have notes for this part. One of the things in that revelation of who God is, he would define himself in the Old Testament by what he did, aspect of his nature. Because one of the things that the Jews would ask, who is this God that we worship? They couldn't even pronounce his name. It was too holy. In fact, they thought that if they pronounced his name, they would drop dead. And certainly nobody wanted God to show up, because that would certainly just wipe them out. But if you remember, when Moses was told to go back to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, Moses asked a very important question. He said, you got to tell me who's sending me. Because they're going to ask me, who told you to do this? Because I didn't understand who God was. And I thought this is the coolest answer in the world. How cool do you have to be to say, you know who I am? I am. Go tell them that I am sent you. You got to be pretty pompous to call yourself I am. And then he said, now I'm going to share with you. You start filling in the blanks. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God of peace. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the God that provides. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals. And all throughout scriptures, what he was doing, he was revealing his nature. I am Jehovah Nissi. your banner. I am Jehovah Tsekidu, your righteousness. I am that I am. So it's like, I am, you fill in the blank. That's the God that we worship. Isn't it wonderful to know that we know that we've not made a mistake? How many people today are worshiping situations or other gods that there's going to come a time where they're going to come face to face and say, boy, was I deceived. And I know people, some of the most wonderful people, that make Christians look like they're playing games. Right? Serving God, serving their God, going out on missionary ventures and all over. They make us look like we're sitting on our Holy Spirit. But to know that we have not made a mistake. That there's not going to be a time where we're going to say, oh, all this was wasted. All of the efforts, all of the things we were serving incorrectly. There'll never be a time. I had somebody ask me, happened many times, what happens? He said, what happens if this is all a farce, Pastor? And I said, well, I've just spent the last years, what was that? That's not me. Yeah, but it was a good place to put it. I spent all these years with a hope and a confidence that brought me joy and brought me peace and brought me all kinds of things. I said to him, but let me ask you this. What happens if I'm right? What happens if I'm right? That left that person with a electronics squint. Okay? It'll come back. Whatever. What happens if I'm right? The wonderful thing about it is we know by the power of the Holy Spirit, we do know that this whole thing of Christmas and all the different things in Easter, this is solid foundational stuff that we're not wasting time and trying to figure out if this is really real. And the wonderful thing about who Jesus is, he said, they called him the Prince of Peace. One of the things that I do in counseling, because I deal with many, many over the years, they said, I've got, because they had to verify, over 40,000 hours of counseling that I have my background. 40,000 hours. Now, once I found that out, I figured out, now I know I'm so tired. All you need is 10,000 hours to be able to be a counselor. And so I'm a Christian counselor. I said, I've been doing this for many, many years. And one of the things that is so profound about coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ is to watch what happens as he transforms a person and gives to them the peace that the world can't give. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not a peace that the world gives, and I add, it's a peace that goes beyond our understanding. And the turmoil and the anxiety and all kinds of things that people are taking drugs for and trying to do any escapism and everything else, trying to find out, why can't I be at peace in my life? Why is there so much struggle in my life? And the Lord says, my peace I give to you. And you watch the incredible unfolding of a sense of the presence of God in a person's life. And I say it this way, maybe nothing's changed, but everything is different. And I dealt with someone last week that was going through all kinds of just discouragement, depression, and all kinds of things. And my sessions are probably about hour and a half, 2 hours. Because I don't stop unless the Lord says stop. But that person, at the end of the situation, and we prayed, I says, now, Lord, I want you to release your peace to this person. Literally, not literally, figuratively, the person just began to glow. There was like years of junk just fell off. And she said, my God, I've never experienced like this. And she wouldn't get up. And she didn't want to get up. She said, I want to leave this place. I said, I've got another appointment. I said it nicely. And I said, no, it's not going to leave. It's not about this place. It's about who now you have allowed to carry the burdens that have caused you to be overwhelmed. And you know, I would do this if I had to pay for it. Because it's such an incredible sense to watch Jesus. Because when Jesus sets people free, they're free indeed. Really free. You good? I'm not even looking. For 2017, let me just tell you something, and this is why it's so important. How are we doing? We're going to be there. In order to see God's provision in 2017, we must approach the situation with confidence. You know that this is a word that I like to bang on. Because not only is it something that makes us secure, what it does, it pleases God. And I've talked about you over and over again. One of the greatest things that we can do for God is to say, we really believe you are who you say you are. Believing what he's called you to do, who you are, and believing in his promises. God's promise to us this Christmas is that we can look with confidence to 2017. Being confident of this, it says. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you, the seed that he planted within you, he's going to water it, and he promises it's going to bear fruit. This whole understanding in John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will empower you and teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Let me share something with you. Most of you know, turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you being confident for 2000. I want us going into 2017 confident that he who has promised will fulfill that promise. And I'm going to show you some things before we get out of here at 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. You remember the story of Abraham? Abraham met God. He was a pagan, an Ur of the Chaldees. He was 75 years old. God spoke to him because he was looking for an answer. Along with the family. And he says, I want you to leave your family and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you and I'm going to give to you. So Abraham, it's Abram at that time, he is married to Sarai at that time. They take a bunch of the people, his family, and they go to the promised land, where Israel is now. So Abraham did not have any children. His wife Sarai was barren. And back in those days, if you did not have a child, something was wrong with you, and they thought it mostly likely was spiritually wrong. God had cursed your life. If you didn't have any sons to keep the family going, when the father died, who was going to take care of the mother? So it's very important. So God, as you remember, said to Abraham, let me just tell you why he changed his name. Anytime you see a change of names in Scripture, something very important. If you remember, Jesus changed Peter's name. Well, the Lord changed Abram. The word expressed by the Jews for the name of God was phonetical. They would say that they worshiped the God of Ha. That was God's name, Ha, which is breath. Ha. He breathed on them, Ha, and they received the Holy Spirit. So when you take Abram and add the to you, you get Abraham. With Sarah, you get Sarah. So what happened? God touched them. Long story short, God says, you are going to have a son. Because that's all that Abraham wanted. You're going to have a son. And he said, wonderful. And Sarah said, say what? For 25 years, God had promised him that he was going to have a raise up a nation. He's going to be the father of a mighty nation. And then one day, 25 years later, he says, Abraham's 90 years old, Sarah's 75. He says to Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Sarah overhears this, and she says, how can that be? I'm old, and I'm barren, and I think Abraham's hearing voices. Abraham comes back and says, and she didn't know what to do. But I'll tell you what, Sarah is just like us sometimes. When God gives us a promise or says he's going to do something, how many of you have ever started tried to help that out? Well, I can't figure out how you're going to do it, but let me just try it this way. God says, be still. I don't know how he can do this. God says, I didn't tell you how I was going to do it. I just told you I was going to do it. And I have delayed, and some of you have too, delayed God's timing so much by me messing things up, trying to make it happen. And you know what happened with Sarah. He said, I can't be pregnant, but son's a son. Grabs a hold of her maidservant, who was a pagan, by the way, not a Jew. Abraham says, well, all right, let's try it this way. Gives birth to Ishmael, which we know. We're dealing with that issue today, if you know what I'm talking about. And of course, God says, no. That's not what I intended. Sarah is going to have a child a year from now. So Abraham, as he is, okay, let's just, whatever, God. Abraham was not a Christian. He was not a Jew. But his faith established him as righteous. He believed what God said. So they have a child. His name is Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Ha ha. Happy, happy. Come on over here, happy, happy. He brought joy to their life. But that's what it means. Ha ha. Make my son ha ha. One day, probably 15, we don't know how old Isaac was, but probably around 15 years old, maybe a little bit more. Abraham says God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son and take him up to this particular hill, mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, we don't know what Abraham thought, but I don't know what I would have thought. How can possibly God be contradicting himself? Because the pagans would offer their children as sacrifices to their gods. So here we are, a gift from the Lord, from God, miracle. Now he says, I want you to sacrifice, which is completely contradictory. But Abraham, he said, and there's something that's very important. He took have you ever noticed when you look at the picture of Israel or Jerusalem, you see the dome, the gold dome? You know that that's a mosque. It's not a Jewish temple. It's a mosque that was built over the very site that Abraham sacrificed or attempted to sacrifice Isaac. That's the Dome of the Rock. So anyway, they go up. Let me read it for you. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey, that's the car, this was a chauffeur, while I and the boy go over there to the mountain, and we will worship, and then we'll come back It's it. So he takes Isaac up there to the mountain, and Isaac says, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" And he says, "Son, you're the sacrifice." And we don't see that Isaac gave his father a hard time. At about the time, I'm saying, "Dad, it's been nice to know you. I tell you, you're carrying this thing a little bit too far. I'm out of here." That's not what he said. Well, as you know, what happened, he brought the child there. You can see the picture of what it was probably like. And he goes to kill the child, his son. And God stops him. And he says, "Now you have proven to me that this who I gave to you will not be a hindrance of what I want to do in your life." Now, you look at this thing and you go, "My gracious, how can God, who would ever ask someone to sacrifice a son? I couldn't do it. God wanted me to sacrifice my son?" And that's what so many people throw at Christians. And then, why would God ever want, and if I get committed with the Lord, he's going to have me do something that is absolutely beyond my ability to be able to do. So therefore, I'm not getting in this full, I'll do it waist high, but I'm not getting over my head. God was testing Abraham, but also proving Abraham. He never intended to have the sacrifice, because he has Isaac down, and he said, and he saw that there was a ram over in the bushes. He says, "That's your sacrifice." And you know what? At that particular location, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. That is, the God provides. Or technically, the way to do it, the word is, God will see to it. But one of the things in reading this particular passage right now is something that gives insight to Abraham. It says, he and his servant said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I go, and the boy will go over there up the mountain. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Do you notice what he said? Was, "We will come back to you." He didn't say, "I will come back to you." Before Abraham knew any of the thing that was going on or any of the situation that was, you know what he had? He had confidence in God. He said, "We will come back." He said, "I don't know what God's going to do. I have no idea, but this is pushing the limits as far as I'm concerned. But I do know that I have confidence in my God, that he who has begun a good work in me shall complete it. And if I kill him, he'll raise him back up again." That's the kind of confidence that we can have. And by the way, God will never require of you something that he doesn't give you the ability to be able to do. Right? Be assured of that. When there is a challenge in your life, God will grace you with sufficient faith to be able to go through that situation with the confidence that God says, "You're in my will, I'll take care of you. I am Jehovah Jireh, the God that will see to it." So what we see in this with Abraham is a picture of confidence. He knew, some way or another, they're both coming back down. What went up on the mountaintop, he didn't know. But he did know God, and he had confidence in the Lord. Confidence, and I'm going to speed things up, basically means assurance. It means boldness, security, hope, faith, certainty. And I like to say, a knowing in your knower. Yeah, just I got a knowing in my knower that this is what God's saying. How would you like to approach 2017 with a sense of confidence instead of flipping coins or trying to listen to the news or whatever it might be? Listen to all of the ramifications and the dust storms and all the confusion and all transition stuff like that. How would you, being offered, if we were, the ability to say right now, I'm approaching 2017 with a sense of knowing that God's got everything under control. Do you know what would happen when you did that? You would be absolutely just clothed in the peace of the Lord in every situation. Well, God makes a promise that that's to be the case. What would happen is now we apply it to everything that we deal with. Knowing that he began that good work, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to look at 2017 because I already have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. I got to go quickly because I've got some more stuff. I'll wait. I can't do it, part two. God's gift of promise to us in Christmas is that we can be confident in 2017. The gift that he gives to you today in Jesus is saying, I want you to know that 750 years before it ever happened, I made a promise and I kept it. And the promises that I've given to you, I will keep. And there's many promises that have been already fulfilled and you know it. But what I want, in order that your faith would begin to rise, you have to grab a hold of this by faith and say, God, you know 2017. You got it taken care of. I'm not going to sweat it. Is it possible? I'm going to ask you again. Is it possible? Let me ask you this. Is it probable? We go as fast as we know, but as slow as we do, right? Well, I want to help. I want you to understand, because God needs you confident. I don't want to have to make it to March and finally get your head screwed back on together. And those listening online, I want us to go into January with a sense, God, you got this. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't care. I don't know what the nation is going to do. I don't know what the job situation is going to be. But I do know who you are. Let me quickly share. God's promise for you is this. Write these down. Remember them. I've given you the scripture. That he will be available to you. Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorites. Call unto me and I will answer you. I make myself, and I say to you, and have confidence that I will be available for you. Also, he says this, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the left or the right, you will hear this voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in. He says to us, he will guide and direct our decision. How would you like to just sit here or sit in this place, in your place right now, and know that every decision that you have to make, God says, I'll make sure it's taken care of. Wouldn't that be cool? Is God just offering us carrots, or is this real? And I tell people that as Christians, by the way, we don't make decisions. Well, should I buy this car, or should I go to this? Should I take this job? Should I do this? You don't. That's not your position. When we understand as Christians, we don't make decisions. God makes the decisions. And how many know he doesn't make any mistakes? Our position is to hear God. It's not to make that, well, what happens if this and what's that? God, you know the situation. I'm going to do my due diligence, get as much information as I possibly can, then put it on the table and say, God, you choose. We don't make decisions. All we do is hear God. And I guarantee it, as I said, he doesn't make mistakes. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? People come, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Well, I don't know if this is the job that I should take or if this is the... I said, I don't either. Well, you're supposed to be the man of God. I said, I am the man of God. And you're the woman of God. But what God says... Call unto me and I'll answer you. I promise to guide and direct your step. What we have to do, sweetie, is what we have to, and Pat's allowed me to say some of my sweetie to you because that means you're sweet. Even when you're sour sometimes, I have faith in you. All we have to do is posture ourselves to be able to hear what God's saying. And you know what happens? And I'll talk about this after the beginning of the year. There's one way. Sure way. If Joshua can hold the sun, make it stop, why can't I make that clock stop? Because you know what? God says, I don't want it to stop. Get your act together, get it on. The wonderful thing about knowing whether or not it's God or not, one true way, write the thing down, Colossians 3:15. That is the key to knowing God's will, period. And I'm not going to preach on it. You look it up. The next thing he promises, that he will protect us and ours. Philippians 4:46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. When we look at all the situations of this, what's going on in this nation today, when we're in the situation where we know that we are infested with people who want to do harm, and I'm talking about, we do you realize we almost have a million felons, arrested felons that have been let into this country, a million of them that have been left to come across the border. Now, if I were a non-Christian, I'd have a tendency to lock my wife and my kids and everybody I know in the house and not let them out. But we look in what's happening into this nation over these last years and the chaos, and it's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants a spirit of fear. In the midst of the turmoil and all the situations that's going on, God says, I will protect you and yours. And I have confidence that when my wife goes on the road, or my kids go, or my grandkids go, that God, you're the one that's going to protect them because you promised me. Then it says, he will provide. Philippians 4:19. Jehovah Jireh, I will provide all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How wonderful will that be? To be able to come to a place and say, God, job situation, finances, I know my desire is to serve and to honor you. But you said, and I stand on it, honey, God is going to provide. He's going to make a way where there is no way. He's going to be able to show us exactly what to do. And now let's just start rejoicing in him so that the enemy can't come in and cause fear and worry and anxiety. Amen. Let me tell you something. This is a promise. Also, that he will turn all of the challenges into blessings. Romans 8:28. He'll turn all things to the good. When you're in the midst of a struggle, don't allow the enemy to define what's going on, because he will lie to you. He wants you anxious. He wants you fearful. And I've taught some of you for years now that you can't understand the situation in God's will if you're there. And if it's confusing to you, ask the Lord for his peace. But he says, nothing will be wasted. I'm not out here seeing how much I can put another turn on the thumb screw. There's something in this place that is necessary for you to learn in this challenge, because you're going to need it for the days ahead. Somebody say amen. Well, when you say amen, that means you agree with me, and the angels are taking notes for 2017. And they're going to say, remember when you said. Quickly as we close here. He will draw us closer. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't it wonderful to know that our relationship, God says, you haven't seen anything yet. And I don't know about you, but I am hungry after God. And I've been doing this for 40 years. And I want more God. I want more God. He says, I'm going to take 2017 and there's going to be things that you're going to deal with, and situations and people and ministry that are going to show you more about me. And when we start looking for God in the midst of the situation and not complaining about all hell breaking loose, you'll find God in the situation, and all of a sudden you're going to come out with what? A pony. There's a pony in there. You need explanation of sight. He will never leave us or forsake us. Even in the midst of the situation where it seemed, God, I feel lonely. I feel like I'm just lost, or everybody's turning against me. And they're starting to do rumors and all this. And God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I would rather have God's affirmation than everybody else's affirmation. I'll never leave you or forsake you. His grace or His favor towards you will be without measure in 2000, as it was in 2016. It's going to be even greater because we need more grace next year, because there's more to do. Last, He has not forgotten His promises that He's given. The promises that you're holding on your heart, in your heart, stirring in your spirit, man, that says, I know, God, I believe this. I believe that it's a request. And Lord, I don't know how to get there. I don't know all the details. But I know that You put it on my heart to believe You for it. And I'm thanking You, Lord, that You have not forgotten. You have not forgotten this heart's cry. And then you know what He says, Scripture says He gives us the desires of our heart. And I said, well, that's pretty weird. What happens if your heart's sideways? And He's got a scripture for that too. But what happens, the more you begin or desire to know Him, the more He draws you in. And you know what happens? His desires become your desires. When I was in the business world, running my own kingdom, I had my desires. And if someone would have said to me, you're going to go into the ministry, I would have rebuked him. And I did rebuke that person that said that. And that was God. And He told me, be still, this is Me. Have you ever said, get thee behind Me, Satan? He says, no, this is Me. I said, well, it doesn't look like you. He said, it's Me. But all of a sudden, things began to change. And all of a sudden, I wasn't into building kingdoms anymore. All of a sudden, there was a desire in my heart to be able to... He's going to have a good afternoon. Nothing can do about it. This is not our equipment, by the way. In Jesus' name, be healed. Pastor, you're talking to a projector. You better talk to a projector. I talk to crabgrass, talk to animals, talk to everybody else. Anything the devil can get involved with, I talk to it and tell him to get out of there. But all of a sudden, things began to change. And money wasn't my God anymore. And I wasn't looking for accolades and all kinds of things. Trying to retire at 25 years old and then get there and say, now what? That whole process. There's one thing to be a down and outer. There's a whole lot worse to be an up and outer. But in the process of saying, God, You're calling me to the ministry, what began to happen, thank to my wife, because I didn't have faith for it. She says, no, honey, this is what God's called you to do. I said, all right. And through the years, He began to fashion. And my heart's desires was to be a good shepherd, to be a pastor, to be a counselor. And remember, I told you, I didn't even like people. But the Lord says, but now, it's a passion. And I know it's my desire, but He's the one that put it there. And you know what happens? When it gets fulfilled, when I'm seeing things begin, then I say, Lord, I bless You for it. And He says, I put the will and the purpose within you. And when you keep your eyes on Me, I will keep you in perfect peace. What an awesome way to approach 2017. Thank you, Sean. I'm almost finished. Our confidence in 2017, Jesus, God's promise to us, He said, I will give you something that will transform your eternity. And His name is Jesus. And we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're going to heaven, folks. Isn't that wonderful? How many know that's not at all the whole picture? It's how we're getting there. We're getting to heaven. We're going to make it. You've accepted Jesus Christ. But how are you getting there? 2017 is going to be filled with the revelation of who God is in a way that's going to expand our revelation of who He is. Christmas, God's gift of promise. It keeps on giving. Truly the reason for the season. I close with this. I was watching, just to show you. It's a negative, but I'll turn it around to a positive. It's warm. See why? Are you warm? You ought to be up here. I was watching the news last week, and the president-elect turned to the camera and he said, "Merry Christmas." Do you know what happened? The newscasters said they just raked him over the coal, calling Merry Christmas hate speech, because he was insensitive to other people's religions. And I said to myself, what about being insensitive to Jesus? Merry Christmas is not a hate speech. And don't you ever allow them to try to manipulate you into a place where you're taking your light to be politically correct and put it under a bushel basket because you want to be nice. Well, we can be nice all we want while people are going to hell. And you have the answer, but you don't want to offend them. And God doesn't want us offending people, and you won't. But I'll tell you something. We have an opportunity, and I've talked about it in these last months, of seeing what God can do when the fetters are now being broken off of us. And we have the freedom to be able to say Merry Christmas. God's promised us. And He says, the plans that I have for you are plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And the greatest thing that we could do is take that place and say, Lord, I'm going to do what I can with your strength to be able to approach every situation that I'm, as we're moving into this 2017, sense of confidence. Because you know why? It's not just for me. It's that I want to bless you, God. I want to bless you. And the Lord says, and I want to bless you. Watch what we two can do together. Watch what we two can do together. And I say this as your pastor and those that are listening online, I promise you what I have said is truth. Because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free or set you free. I can't wait for 2017. And I don't really care who was president, but I'm sure happy the way things are now. I put my trust, like you, in Jesus Christ. He will not fail. So let's get her done. Amen? Bow with me. Father, thank you again. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for adding the Merry to the Christ celebration. It's not about religion. It's not about anything else. It's about rejoicing in our God, our Savior. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Thank you. Father, I pray your blessings upon your people right now and those listening online, that there would be a dynamic download in these next couple weeks of the power of God that says, I will stand strong in the liberty where you have allowed me to enter into, and I will not be entangled by any yoke of bondage. Now take 1 minute and just talk to God right now. Thank you, Lord. I can't give you a full minute. You're going to have to stop. Do it on your own. You know another name for ha-ha is? In Scripture? Joy. What does it say about the joy? The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. When we are rejoicing in God, He downloads the strength to be able to deal with the situation. We're going to sing Joy to the World. The Lord has come, and we're going to say, hang it on your beak, devil. Amen? Stand with me. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Let's go ahead. Sing with us. Amen. Notice, take your neighbor's hand. It doesn't say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. If you notice, it says, the Lord is come. That means that there is an unfolding revelation of who He is. It's not just a one-time event, right? It's an ongoing process. So, Father, we thank You for the joy of knowing that the revelation of Jesus for this year and what we have learned will be brought into the next year, 2017. Most of those things have been through the challenging times where You showed Yourself strong. I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray, Father, that they be at peace because You're the God of peace. I pray that they may be still and know that You are God. I pray, Father, that there might be that confidence that You've gone before them to prepare a work, to prepare and to set up things, and that we walk in this victory, Father. That we walk in the victory in Jesus' name. Turn around, lift your hands before the Lord right now. I'm going to pray the blessing, as you know that I decided, put your hands down for just a second. I don't want you to get tired. It won't be that long. We, because Christmas is on Sunday, next Sunday, I know what happens in my family on Sunday morning, and I don't want to have them drag the kids to church on Sunday. So what we're going to do is that we're going to allow you to have Christmas Family Sunday next week. And enjoy. There are going to be many people that are out traveling around. I want you to enjoy your kids. And if you have kids and they get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and they want to play with their toys, you say you can play with them all day long. And then New Year's happened to be on a Sunday. And I know there's some of you that probably want to go out, stay up late, and watch the ball fall. I watched it at 9 o'clock, by the way. Looks the same at 12 o'clock. You get the New York side of it. So this is our last service of the year. And I want you to know that from me and Pat and our family, that we want you to know that we love you. We delight in you. It's an honor and a privilege to serve you. And we're looking forward to watching God's promises, because He's revealed, He's shared a whole lot of promises about you guys to us. And we really believe this stuff. So we want to say Merry Christmas to you. And I don't have to say this, but we're going to have an awesome new year. In Jesus' name, lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I release the benediction to you, to He who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless to the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's confident people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Awesome. Have a merry, merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.